This morning I want to start off and read Psalm 1. If you could turn to that, we'll start and read that. It's one of my favorite psalms. I'm going to read verse 1 through 3. It says, "Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the river of water, and brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers." Well, Lord Jesus, we just ask that you would reveal your word to us today. Lord, I pray that you would take my simple words and make them revelation today, Lord. For indeed, it is how you speak to us, is through our spirit, with your spirit, and you give us revelation. So we ask for revelation this morning. Amen. The first verse talks about what we should not do. The second verse talks about what we need to be doing. And that's what I wanted to talk about today, is what we need to be doing today. And it says, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, when it says the law of the Lord, it's primarily in the scripture point of view. It's talking about the first five books of the Bible, which are called the books of the law. And in that, they're not just Ten Commandments or a bunch of rules and regulations of doing this or that. It's also biblical stories, and it teaches us about what God is like. And so there's a lot more to just think about, you know, do's and don'ts that we're talking about. That's not just what we're supposed to be meditating on. We're supposed to be meditating on the nature and goodness of God, right? And it says, but it starts off and says that his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on it he meditates day and night. See, so I wanted to talk about a delight today. Have you ever delighted in something? And when you delight in something, what happens? It's something you can't get out of your mind. You're thinking about it all the time. I can imagine that a painter thinks of a project that they want to do, and it begins to fill their mind, and they see it in their mind, and then they go forward and they start to draw it and start to play with it and start to process it, and it fills their mind, and it's something they can't just not think about. Well, I wanted to tell you that I've had a delight over the last few years, and it's been building this gazebo that I have partly done on my property. Where this came from was quite a few years ago. Well, it was a lot of years ago. I cut all the cedar trees in the back of my property, and there were some large trees back there. And we cut them up, and I stripped them all, and we piled them on the side of the garage, and there they sit. And so over the years, I've used them for a couple different projects. I built a tree house for the kids. I built a swing set out of the cedar logs, and I've used some of the smaller ones to make some beds, planters for in the back of my yard so I could level it off. So I got some good use out of it. But then there was some of the primary larger logs were just sitting there. And one day I said, I think I want to build a gazebo out of the nice cedar logs. You know, a gazebo is always made out of some kind of cedar. And so I thought about that. So then I thought, well, where would I put it and how would I build it? And eventually I came up with, well, maybe I'd like it right in the side yard, because that's where we, when we have people over to have them in the yard, that's where we go, is we use our side yard for entertainment. So with that, I began to think, well, how would I position it? How would I put it? And I came up with some plans, and I drew them up, and I started to consider the size of the gazebo that I wanted to build, and I realized I needed to take it to the town, and the town made me run through a process. I had to fill out a form, and then they told me that it was 3 feet short of one of the things on the side, so I had to go through a month process going before the planning board and pay some extra money, and they had to decide it was okay, and yes, it was okay, but it only took 2 or 3 months to do that, and so when I was all done, it kind of messed up that first summer when I was planning on building the gazebo, so the next thing I worked on, you know, putting in a few foundational things, and my buddy Brad helped me to know how to do that in a good way, and so the next summer I got my cedar logs, and I brought them up to a lumber mill, and they sawed them up for me, and I brought them back, and I planed them, and I notched them, and then my son-in-law came, and we helped. Last summer, we put up the basic structure, so that's where it sits right now, and then I'm starting to work on how to put the roof on, right? Well, the point is that that was a delight. It's something that I wanted to do, and you know, it filled my thoughts. It filled, you know, how would the dimension be? How should I put the windows? You know, how should I do the door? And I'm still thinking about some of those things. You know, how does the deck fit? You know, I needed to put the foundation in where you had, you know, I needed to, every corner of the 8-sided gazebo had to be supported, you know. And so, you know, all of those things took thought, took me meditating on them. And you know what? It wasn't a chore, because I was meditating on those things all the time. Before I went to the bed, I was thinking about, well, what about this piece or what about that? And I woke up in the morning, maybe I was thinking about something else, and it came to my mind. And so the delight that I had just brought me in naturally into meditating on it. A few years ago, a year or so ago, I was Ubering, and I picked up this guy over at the train station, and he was going to the Omega Center, right? So I was driving him over there, and I was asking him what he was doing over there, and he told me he was going to a meditation retreat. I said, oh, well, you know, what do you expect, you know, conversation? I was asking him what he was expecting to get out of this. And he was telling me, you know, well, I'm a busy guy. I need, you know, I need to relax. I need more peace. You know, I need to clear my thoughts. And so I asked him, so he's telling me, well, is that what, you know, what the meditation does for you? He says, yeah, it helps. And I said, well, you know, I said, I'm a Christian, and you know, I understand that, you know, the meditation you're talking about, an Eastern religion type of meditation, is a meditation where you try to empty your mind from all these different things. And I said, but from a biblical point of view, meditation is not emptying your mind; it's filling it with some other thoughts. And so I started to explain to him how that works, and how you know, when you start to meditate on what is good and right and what God is good and all of his principles and how they work, you know, they take out all the negative thoughts out of your head, because you can't think about both, and it helps you to start to get things in perspective and understand your nature and what your life should be about. And so I'm explaining that to him, and he's really listening to me, because I'm not sure he ever heard about meditation from this point of view before. And next thing you know, he's telling me, well, I grew up Catholic, And I said, "Oh yeah, well, that's good." He said, "But I don't know if I really understand all of that." So from that, I got to tell him about the gospel and how Jesus died for him on the cross, and it was a cool time. But now, if you could, let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 3. In Hebrews chapter 3, it starts off and it says, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of your confession, Jesus Christ." Now, this scripture starts off and tells us that it calls us holy brethren because we have a heavenly calling. Well, what is that heavenly calling? Well, in that heavenly calling, we need to consider, we need to meditate on the understanding that Christ is two things that it mentions here. One, he's the apostle, and two, he's our high priest. And those two things fit together in a way that is really cool, because as an apostle, you know, the basic word is the one who sent, and we know that God the Father sent Christ down on the earth to do a job. He had a mission that he came down to do. But as that mission, the mission as it's talking about here as an apostle, it's talking about he's the master builder. See? That's what the apostle's ministry or position for Jesus is about. It's where he is the master builder. Along with that, he has the tools, some of the tools to do that, and his other thing that it says, that he's the high priest. Because as the high priest, he goes before us, and he goes before the Father to intercede for us and do his priestly ministries to be able to accomplish him building what he's building. So then in 2 it says, "Who was faithful to him," that's the Father, says who Jesus, "who was faithful to him," the Father, "who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all of his house, of all of God's house. For this one have been counted worthy more glory than Moses, inasmuch as the builder of the house has more honor than the house." See, here's the point. I'm building this gazebo, and a lot of people come by and they say, "Oh, that's really beautiful. I really like what you have built," right? And they're giving some glory to the house, but they're speaking it to the builder. And I have more glory because I built it than the house or the gazebo has. Doesn't that make any sense at all? Yeah. Because the builder is one who constructed it. He's the one who created it. He's the one who thought about it. He's the one that knew how to put it together. He's the one that did the work to put it together. See? Jesus is the builder. He's the apostle. And he's the one that is building the house for the Lord. For every house is built by someone, but he who builds all things is God. Amen? Is not God the creator of all things and have built for us all things that we enjoy and exist in? And then it says, "As Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, as a testimony of those things which were spoken forth, but Christ as the son over his own house. See, Jesus is over his own house. He's the son over the own house. As we hold fast to the confession and rejoice in the hope to this end, confirmed to this end, what we see is that the house is you and I. Now, Jesus is the apostle. He's the builder of the house. And we're the house that he's building. And I wanted to say to you that he delights in what he's building. He's meditating on everything that he's wanted to do and everything that he has done. I had to wait a few years to be able to accomplish this gazebo, because every step there was time that had to be taken for preparation, or for governments to decide that I could do it, to get the authority to do it. And the same way, Jesus has been delayed in many ways to build the house that he wants to build. 4,000 years from Adam and Eve to the time that Jesus came on the earth to come as the one that would lay down his life and to be able to have the structure of the building actually begin to be formed, took that amount of time. I don't know why, but it's the way it is. It's the way it has been. And now Christ has come and he's began to build the building, which we are becoming a part of it, and he's delighting in it. He's been thinking for thousands and thousands of years of what he wanted to construct. And he's thought about every little step of how it would be. He's thought about you and me in this time, in this period, and how we would fit into the building that he's building. And he's delighted in it. He's meditated on it. He's considered every point of what he wants to do. You see, it took me a long time to get started, and then I built the foundation. And then after I built the foundation, I had to deal with the logs and get them ready and sanded and prepared. And then I had to build like a kit, you know, to build all the notches to put it all together. And then I had to come and assemble it. And each step was a delight for me. Each step I took, I delighted in, and I thought about, and I considered, and I enjoyed building what I was building. And I tell you that Christ is doing the same thing. He's enjoying what he's building. He's enjoying each step, even every step when he's thinking about and the preparation to do it. Now, I got the structure up, and now I have to deal with the roof. Over the winter, I put down some plastic over the structure there, and I have to put the roof on it. So a month or so ago, I bought some pine boards from a lumber yard up in Saugerties, and they're rough cut lumber. And Dan came and helped me, and we transported them down to my yard, and I stacked them up because they needed to dry. See, there was a preparation on these 52 boards that I bought, all 1x10s. Right? And so I waited. And I remember while I was waiting, I would go out by the pile occasionally, and just because I enjoyed the smell of the wood drying, right? And I enjoyed that, and I enjoyed thinking about what this wood was going to do for me. And so after a while I was trying to be patient, but I finally got my planer going, and now I've planed up all the wood. So I had to put through all the wood and plane up both sides. and I stacked it back into the pile. And then the next process is I cut each side to take the rough edges off of the sides and made them the same dimension, right? Because as they cut the wood and made the wood, you know, all the dimensions are close, but they're not accurate. That's why I plane it to get it down to all the boards exactly the same. But all the boards are not exactly the same in that some have knots and some are clear and some have some defects in it on the ends. And so I planed it all up and I'm preparing it to go. And then I made one that took 40 of them and I'm making them into what we call shiplap, where I cut a little piece out so when they overlay against each other, they can lay on top of each other. And so there was, you know, four cuts on each one that I had to cut out with that. And so now when that's done, then I had to take all the pieces and I took out my sander, my belt sander, and I sanded all these pieces. And then when I'm done with that, I took out some stain to preserve them and to help the wood, and I stained them all. And as I stained each one, you know, I'm enjoying looking at the wood and seeing the different knots and the different shapes that are on the ones. And you know what? I know all 40 of these pieces a little intimately. Isn't that a scary thought? Some I know I got to cut off this end or that end, or maybe the knot fell out and I can't use that portion. And so I took both sides so I can use either side of the wood, and there I am. I'm ready to start to put the roof on, and I'm still working on that. But I wanted to tell you that each of us are like those pieces of wood. God, because he loves us, he doesn't want to leave us in that rough form. He's taking us down with a planer, and a planer's a pretty rough machine. It does a great job, but you send it through there where these knives cut away at the top, and it makes it nice and smooth. And then I use a saw and I'm cutting on it and I'm cutting pieces out of it, and then I take a sander and I'm sanding it down, and I'm, you know, some of the knots come out really beautiful, but next to the knot, you know, the end grain lifts up and the plane chops away at it a little bit, and I have to do some extra sanding on some certain parts. And then I take it and I measure it and I cut it some more to fit into the building, and then I screw it on, and I do what I need to do to make it fit and fit well. See? But each of those steps, especially the steps where I'm actually working on the wood, I'm looking at the piece and I'm working with the piece. So I want to tell you this, that if you feel like you're being cut, if you feel like you're being sanded down and shaped, understand that it may be painful, but understand that the master builder is at work and he's looking at you. He's considering the beauty that he has, the natural beauty that he's trying to bring out in you. And as you go through this process of being prepared for the building, prepared to be fitted in to the structure, it's maybe a difficult process that you're going through, but he's delighting in what he's doing with you. You know, some days I like to go out, and it's not fully done yet, but I go out and I sit in my gazebo. And I sit there just to marvel at the the wood and the structure and how it looks. You see, this is why we sing that song sometimes. You know, he leaves the 99 and he goes after the one. See, the one that he goes after is the piece of wood that he's working to shape, to get ready to put into the building. And he puts a lot of time and effort into that. And then he builds it in. And now he can look to another part he's building. But occasionally, he sits down in the gazebo to enjoy what he's built so far. And he enjoys the whole structure together as it fits. And that's a little bit of what we're about as we come to church, is that Christ is coming to dwell in our worship and just to enjoy the work that he is doing and he's continuing to do in each of our lives. So, Christ is delighting in you and me. So let us also continue to delight and meditate on him and on his nature and on his word. And as we do that, we will find a place of peace. Some people read too much. They sit down and they want to spend time with God and they begin to read the scriptures. And sometimes you can read too much. And your mind goes from one thought to another story, and oh, isn't that nice? I read that before. I want to challenge each of us that maybe you read a little less and begin to delight in what you're reading and begin to meditate on it more fully. And maybe take a week on that passage instead of an afternoon. Because I tell you this, that the process of which I understood of where and how to build the gazebo did not happen in a day. It took me much time thinking about the project before it finally came together and I was at peace with what I needed to do or what it wanted to do. And that's the same way of what we do when we delight in something and begin to meditate on it. God begins to, by his Spirit, begin to work in our heart and develop it into something that is foundational for us. So if you are feeling like God is not speaking to you, maybe it's the process that you're using. And slow down a little bit and ask the Lord to show you and begin to show you how to meditate in a better way. And begin to delight in what you are reading and understand what you're going through what you're reading. And then when you come together at the home group, you can say, "Oh, let me tell you what God has been speaking to me this week." And you can begin to share that delight and that meditation with your brothers and sisters. And now your life becomes more full. See, God has made us with a mind. And that mind that we have, that ability that we have to think and to meditate, is an amazing tool that we have. And because it is so amazing, we use it in a negative way, and Satan uses it in a negative way to make us worry. And because we're meditating on those things that are not of God, those things turn into worry and frets that we have in our life. So that same tool that God has given us, our mind, a way to be able to think and work through things, can become a negative tool for us. And we become worrisome, and it causes stress, and it causes things in our life that are not of God. But if we begin to use what God has given us so that it becomes a way that we delight in Him and in His Word, then we take that tool, and that tool becomes a blessing to us. And now we come to a different place with God. And God, through His Spirit, then begins to speak to our spirit, and we find ourselves in a place of peace. Are you hearing what I'm saying? For his delight was in the law of the Lord. And on His law He meditated day and night. And then it says, whatever we do shall prosper. Our leaves will not wither, and we will produce fruit in season. Do you see the beauty of what the Lord is telling us? This is why one of the things the Lord tells us that He gives us is a helmet of salvation. See, He places this helmet over our head to protect our mind. And that our mind needs to be renewed. And what we're talking about today is the renewal process. Meditation. Delighting in Him. And as we do that, that protection is there for us. Satan has no foothold. I'm so glad that Christ is both the apostle and my high priest. Because when I have problems, I can first go to Him, and He is there to help me. He is there to be a priest to me and bring my situation before God Himself. And I can find help in time of trouble by going to that place of grace, the throne of grace, and I find my help that I need. So, I want to end today, but just to ask if anyone wants some prayer today. We're going to do announcements, and then we're going to end the meeting. And then after that, if anybody wants prayer, I'll be here, and maybe some other brothers and sisters. And if any of you want to pray that you can get your delight back. Because meditation comes out of delight. You think about what your heart is excited about. Amen? Okay. Well, Lord Jesus, we thank You for what You are speaking to us, Lord. I thank you for what Paul spoke to us last week about, Lord, and I pray that this message would fit into that as well. So, Lord, we thank you that you are a God that has not left us alone, but have given us the Comforter. And so we ask that you would speak to us, that we could begin to lay down our lives for you in all that we do. So, Lord, we just ask that you would just continue to be that master builder in our midst, putting us together to assemble us and put us through the process of what we need to do to become part of what you are building. I delight in that, Lord, and I'm excited about this building that you're building, the house of God that is yours and yours alone. I'm so glad to be a part of that, and I know my brothers and sisters are too. So we just say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.